Our text this morning, please turn to Luke chapter 1. Gospel of Luke chapter 1. Verse 26. Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? The angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Verse 46. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. And he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats, and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. As he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. Mary, Savior or servant? That is the question we want to answer this morning. Christmas 2,000 years ago involved many people. And in the scriptures we read of Mary and Joseph. We read of Zechariah and Elizabeth, parents of John the Baptizer. We read of Anna and Simeon. We read of the shepherds. We read of the wise men. And God visited them in a special way, so that they would bear witness to the unique and miraculous birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God himself, who became the Son of Man, so that the sons of men might become the sons of God. And Jesus is the only Savior of the world. No other Savior but Him. But there are many servants. All these people whom God had used are servants, or were servants of the Lord. Just like you are servants, and I am a servant of the Lord. All of us are servants who serve our only Savior. And please understand that serving the Lord doesn't mean you have to chair in the worship service or preach over the pulpit to be an elder or a deacon or to be an usher or to serve Holy Communion or to serve refreshments or to play on the keyboard or to sing in the choir or to be in committees to be doing this or doing that. Some of us may not be doing these things, but nonetheless, you are also a servant of the Lord. You are right now serving the Lord. And that's why each Sunday we call this a worship service. We worship the Lord. We come to worship the Lord. And when you come to church to worship the Lord, know that you are serving the Lord. We are all servants of the Lord. When we come to church and we come sincerely and we take our God very seriously, we come in our Sunday best and we come with a reverent heart, we come prepared to give our tithes and our offerings, we come prepared to confess our sins, we come prepared to hear His word, we come prepared to sing to Him, we come with our hearts and our minds prepared not to be distracted by anything else, but to come and worship the Lord. And when you come in such a way, you are servant of the Lord, you are serving Him, and God is very pleased. We are all servants. And in those days, the Lord used all these people to serve Him. And I think we can learn a whole lot from all these people: Joseph, Mary, Zechariah, Elizabeth, Anna and Simeon, the shepherds, the wise men. But this morning, I just want to focus on perhaps the most prominent person, namely Mary herself, who gave birth to the one who is called Emmanuel, God with us. I think this is important, that we look into Mary, because many today, many who call themselves Christians, do not understand properly and correctly what the Bible teaches about Mary's place in God's redemptive plan. And I'm referring to those who are Roman Catholics. And there are 1.2 billion of them. The world is 7 billion, but out of the 7 billion, 1.2 billion are Roman Catholics. And they call themselves Christians. But they see Mary so differently from the way we do, we who are Protestants. And the question we want to ask is, have we worshipped the Christ, our God, and are we practicing our Christian religion correctly? Should we add Mary into the equation or not? Or are the Roman Catholics right? We want to study the scriptures and see what God says. What is Mary's place in God's redemptive plan? And today the Roman Catholics, they, yes, they worship Jesus Christ, but they also worship and adore the Virgin Mary. And this is not something that is made up. And I'm not imagining these things when these things are facts, that the Roman Catholic Church today worship and adore Mary, In fact, they do this more than they do the Lord Jesus Christ. And for proof, let me just share with you what the Roman Catholic Church itself teaches in their official doctrinal statement of faith, the Catechism of the Catholic Church, which I have here. And this book has the Pope's approval, and I want to read to you just what they teach concerning Mary, their doctrine of Mary. And from page 222, let me just read this for you. Devotion, under the section Devotion to the Blessed Virgin, says here, "All generations will call me blessed." And how do they interpret this? The Roman Catholic Church teaches officially, right, they say this, "The Church's devotion to the Blessed Virgin is intrinsic to Christian worship." So you must worship the Blessed Virgin. "The Church rightly honors the Blessed Virgin with special devotion. From the most ancient times, the Blessed Virgin has been honored with the title of Mother of God, to whose protection the faithful fly in all their dangers and needs." So Mary is called Mother of God, and if you need protection, you who are believers must fly, must go to her, and she will protect you from all dangers and will grant you all your needs. That's what it teaches here. And then it goes on to say, "This motherhood of Mary, in the order of grace, continues uninterruptedly from the consent which she loyally gave at the Annunciation and which she sustained without wavering beneath the cross, until the eternal fulfillment of all the elect. Taken up to heaven, she did not lay aside the saving office." So Mary has saving powers. She has this saving office, but by her manifold intercession continues to bring us the gifts of eternal salvation. Mary brings to us the gifts of eternal salvation. "Therefore, the Blessed Virgin is invoked in the Church under the titles of Advocate, Helper, Benefactress, and Mediatrix." Now, all these titles belong to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the Holy Spirit and to God the Father, but Mary has all these titles according to the Roman Catholic Church: Advocate, Helper, Benefactress, Mediatrix. But what did we learn from the scriptures? There's only one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Only one mediator, no other, no mediatrix, only one mediator. And then the Roman Catholic Church goes on to teach, "Finally, the Immaculate Virgin." Immaculate, Mary is sinless, immaculate, preserved free from all stain of original sin, "when the course of her earthly life was finished, was taken up body and soul into heavenly glory. She is also resurrected and ascended to heaven and exalted by the Lord as queen over all things." She is queen of heaven, queen over all things, so that she might be the more fully conformed to her Son, the Lord of Lords and conqueror of sin and death. What does the Bible teach about Mary? And we just want to say categorically that what the Roman Catholic Church is teaching about Mary is wrong and is false. And we say this lovingly. It is not our purpose nor our spirit to put down someone or something just to promote ourselves. No, we say this lovingly because we want people to understand and know the truth. Because it is the truth that will cause us to see, that will make us free, that we really believe in the right God, in the true Savior, and we flee only to Him and to no other, so that we might be saved. Because if we go the wrong way, then we end up in destruction instead of salvation. And for us, we need to understand these things so that we might also be able to help others to see the truth, to see the way, to see the light, and to gently and patiently open the scriptures, know how to explain the scriptures to our Roman Catholic friends, and maybe even our family members and relatives, to explain to them in a loving, gentle, kind, patient way what the Bible says about Mary. And I'm sure if Mary were here today, she will say, "Don't look at me. I am not your Savior. Don't pray to me. Look only to the Lord Jesus Christ and pray to Him. And pray to Him and Him alone." And so in the scriptures, let us look at what the angel said to Mary in verse 26 to verse 35. Now in verse 28, we find the angel coming to Mary and said to her, "Hail thou that art highly favored. Hail thou who art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." Now, first, please take note of the word "hail" here. The word "hail" here is not used as a form of prayer. It does not tell us, nor does it teach us, to pray to Mary and hail her as if we are praising God. The word "hail" here is not like the "Hail Marys" of the Rosary. In the Rosary, Mary's hailed. "Hail Mary, Mother of God, right? Pray for us sinners." We're not supposed to hail Mary in this way. And here the word "hail" does not teach us to do that either. The word "hail" in the original, in the Greek, is the word "kyrene." And "kyrene" in those days is a common word of greeting. Just like today, when we greet one another, "good morning," right, "good afternoon," "good day," "how are you?" "How have you been?" "Hello," "hi." This is our way of greeting one another. In those days, it is this word, "kyrene." It's a common word of greeting, not of worship. But this word has been used, right, wrongly. In the Rosary, to hail Mary and to grant her that kind of exaltation and esteem that is not due to her at all. And really, the word "kyrene" means to rejoice, a word of greeting, to wish the other party happiness and joy in life, right? So that is the meaning of the word. And secondly, we find this word here, the word "highly favored," in verse 28. "Hail thou that art highly favored. Now here the Greek word for "highly favored" is the word "karipao." And "karipao" is from the root word "karis," which is grace. And here, the word "karipao" means to bestow grace. Now, who is the one who bestows grace? Who gives grace? Not any man, but God Himself, the grace giver. So here, when the angel says, "Thou art highly favored," it's not conveying the idea that Mary is full of grace and she is the giver or bestower of grace. In fact, it's quite the opposite. In fact, the Greek verb here, "karipao," is written in the passive voice. And the passive voice tells us that Mary is a receiver of the grace, not the giver. She is the recipient, not the bestower of grace. So here, Mary has received grace, the grace of God. And just like you have received God's grace, for by grace are we saved through faith. And when we have received grace, we don't say we are so full of grace so that we can impart salvation grace. No, this grace comes only from God Himself. And this grace was imparted to Mary, was shown to Mary. And in fact, the word grace tells us also that the one who has received grace is someone who is undeserving. Just like we do not deserve the grace of God, we don't deserve salvation, we deserve God's wrath and anger because we have sinned against God. We are undeserving people. What is due to us is eternal condemnation in the lake of fire the very moment we have sinned against God. And the very fact that we can still live and even breathe and eat and drink is all by the grace of God. God still gives us life right now. Why? Because He is gracious. He's long-suffering to us, but not willing that any should perish, but all to come to repentance. And for those of us who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not because we deserve to be saved. We are totally corrupted and depraved. We don't deserve any of such things. But God had mercy on us. And then He chose us. And then He gave us this eternal life. And this is the same thought and idea here. When the angel communicated to Mary and said, "You are highly favored. You have received God's grace, Mary, not because you are good, because God is good. And God has chosen you. And God has shown mercy on you. And God wants to use you." In the same way, we are undeserving, and God just chose us to belong to Him. Nothing to boast about. And all this is because the Lord is with thee. Right? It's with thee. As the angel here said, the Lord is with thee. And not only with Mary, the Lord is with all of us as well. Why did the angel say here, the Lord is with thee? Because Mary will be bearing the Christ child, who is none other than Emmanuel. You know, one of the names or the titles of the Lord Jesus Christ is Emmanuel, God with us. So God was not only with Mary, God is with us. Those who will kowtow and bow down and worship Him, He is with us as well. And when He is with us, we don't say we become saviors. He is with us so that we might be His servants, that we might worship Him and know Him and make Him known. It's all about God's goodness, not our goodness. And then we also go on to read what the angel said. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed art thou among women. And the word blessed here is the Greek word eulogeo. And eulogeo over here does not mean that Mary is worthy of praise. You ought to praise Mary. No, it is God who is worthy of praise. And here, blessed art thou among women, simply means, Mary, consider yourself a happy lady. Right? Blessed art thou. Happy you are indeed, because God has shown favor to you, and God is going to use you for His good purpose. And this, of course, this term can also be applied to every believer. Blessed are you, because God is with you. God has chosen you. God had mercy on you. God has given you eternal life. And that's why we are happy. Happy people. Because of what God had done for us. So the same idea here is communicated to Mary. That she is specially chosen of the Lord to be His instrument to fulfill His promise, the promise of the virgin-born Son who will come to save the world from sin. And if God has chosen you, you are indeed blessed indeed. And this we find in Psalm 65. You will turn to Psalm 65 at verse 4. In Psalm 65 verse 4, we are told, "Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple." So Mary was blessed in such a way as well, because the Lord had chosen her. Special election, right? Just like we also are specially chosen of the Lord to be his children. So every child of God is blessed in this way, like Mary. So Mary is no different from us, and we are no different from Mary, right? If we are children of God. And then in verse 31, the angel went on to say, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus." Now, the good news that the angel brought to Mary was all about whom? All about Jesus. Not about Mary. It's all about Jesus. And the word Jesus is written in capitals, rightly so, because that is the gist of the good news. J-E-S-U-S, in caps, Jesus. And what does Jesus mean? The name Jesus, from the Hebrew Yeshua, from the Greek Jesus, means precisely Savior. Who is Savior? Not Mary, but Jesus. And Mary, when she heard these good words, understood what it meant. It is Jesus who has come to save me from my sins. I'm not Savior, only Jesus is Savior. And the name is a clear teaching of this fact. And Mary understood this. And Mary was merely a vessel to bring forth the Christ child. It is God's unique and miraculous work by His Spirit that Mary would conceive in a womb the Lord Jesus Christ. And Mary understood this because we see in verse 34, "Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" This is impossible. I am a virgin. I have no sexual relation with any man. How can this happen to me? So Mary realizes that she is powerless in all these things. She is useless. But God is the one who will make her useful. God is the one who is going to be the powerful one who will bring about all these things. So Mary understood this. It is God who will fulfill this. The triune God. God who promised the virgin-born Son, Jesus, who will come as Emmanuel to be born in this world, the second person of the Trinity, and then God the Holy Spirit, who will bring about this miraculous work in the womb of the Virgin Mary, conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. So it's all about Jesus and not Mary. And then in verse 32, Mary herself said, when she heard this good news, she cried out, the angel said, describing about Jesus, "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest." Not she shall be great, not Mary, but he, Jesus, shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. It is Jesus who has all these exalted titles: Son of the Highest, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Only Mediator, Advocate, Our Helper, Our Savior. Only He has all these titles. "And the Lord shall give unto Him the throne of His father David." He is King. No queen in heaven. Only King. The only King is Jesus Himself. And the angel did not say anything about Mary, nor confer any titles upon her, like Queen of Heaven or Mother of God or Mediatrix. It's only Christ. It's all about Christ. And we find also in the rest of the New Testament, not a single word about Mary and her place, right, as our Savior. No, she is no Savior. The Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter, the Apostle John, the Apostle James, the Apostle Jude, when they write the rest of the New Testament, they never talked about Mary. It's only about Jesus Christ. And so far as Mary's place was concerned, she was just this instrument whom God had pity on, God had mercy on, God showed her favor, and God chose her, sanctified her, and used her to bring forth the Christ child. That's all. Not that she should become and would become Savior equal with Jesus or even above the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is not just what the angel said. Look at what Mary herself said when she heard this glad news. Did she exalt herself? No, she abased, right, herself. Look at what she said in verse 38. We have seen what the angel said. Now let us hear what Mary has to say. In verse 38, Mary said, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord." Yes, Mary got her theology right. I am no Savior, I'm only a servant. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. A handmaid. She did not call herself Queen of Heaven. She did not call herself, "Now I am become the Mother of God, Emmanuel, God with us. The one in my womb is Emmanuel, God with us. So have I become the Mother of God?" No. God has no mother. And she did not see herself in that way either. I'm just a handmaid of the Lord. And here the word handmaid is significant. It's the Greek word doulos. Now you have heard this word before, haven't you? There's a gospel ship called doulos. Doulos means servant. In fact, more precisely, it means slave. And not just any ordinary slave, because there's in slaves in those days have different ranks. There are those slaves who were managers. But when the word doulos is used with reference to the slave of the lowest rank, the lowest level of slave, the bond slave. That's the word used when she said, "I am a handmaid of the Lord. I am a slave." It's used in a feminine form here. Doulos is masculine. It's doule over here, feminine. I am a slave, a servant, at the lowest level. A bond slave of the Lord. That's what it means here. She did not exalt herself in any way. She rightly saw her place. Oh, God is so good and so holy and so powerful. I'm nothing. I'm a sinner. I don't deserve all these things. I'm useless. And God is so powerful and good, and then He showed His favor on me. I'm just so thankful. I'm really nothing at all. And by saying this, she worshipped the Lord, didn't she? Just like John the Baptizer, who was the herald of Jesus when he went out to preach. He said, "Jesus must increase and I decrease." That is the mark of a true servant. Mary was a true servant. He must increase. I must decrease. I'm just a handmaid, a slave of the Lord. Please see this. And then in verse 38, we also read, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." According to thy word. Mary was not full of grace. In the rosary is prayed, Mary, Hail Mary, full of grace, giving the impression that Mary is the one who bestows grace. No, Mary was not full of grace. Mary was full of faith, not grace. Because over here she said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." That is faith. Faith is taking God at his word. Faith is believing in what God has said in his word. Without doubt, without question, I just believe. All these things seem just too wonderful and marvelous to me. It is so impossible. But if God said that this must be so and will be so, I simply believe. I simply believe. And Mary at this point may not fully comprehend or understand what was going to happen to her. But she just took God at his word. And that is what we must do. If we want to be servants of the Lord, and true servants, we must be people full of faith. Full of faith. And when you want to serve God, even in this worship service, when you're serving the Lord, how do you serve the Lord? By hearing his words. You serve the Lord when the truth is preached and the Holy Spirit convicts your heart and instructs you. He is our only teacher and tells you this is so. You don't say, "Oh yeah, oh yeah." But if you will say, "Amen, amen." Just like Mary here. God said it. That settles it. I simply believe. I simply believe. That is faith. So she was full of faith over here. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, she heard the word of God through the mouth of the angel, and she believed. And so Mary is here teaching us to be full of faith. Full of faith. To be men and women of faith. She's not teaching us to worship her at all, to pray to her. She's telling us, believe in God. Believe in his word. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the Lord used her mightily, so that God's name might be glorified. And then what else? You look at verse 46. Look at Mary's song of praise. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord. It is God that must be magnified, not me. If Mary is teaching us anything right now, is please don't pray to me, don't worship me, don't adore me. Adore, worship, praise the God of the Bible. Worship the Lord Jesus Christ. My soul doth magnify the Lord. And here, when Mary sang this song, it's not how great I am. When we have tasted the grace of God, it's how great thou art. How great thou art. Not how great I am. So my soul doth magnify the Lord. And Mary here is telling us, don't look at me. Mary is not pointing him to herself. She's pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look to him. Look to him. My soul doth magnify the Lord. Look to the Lord. And then verse 47, and my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. My Savior. So here Mary confessed that she was a sinner. And that she needed a Savior. If you have no sin, you have no need of a Savior. The Roman Catholic Church, according to the Catechism that I just read to you from the Roman Catholic Catechism, says that Mary was born without sin. And then throughout her life, kept from sin. So she was sinless from beginning to end. But Mary says, no, I'm sinful, I'm a sinner. And God is my Savior. If she was not sinful, she would have no need of a Savior. But here Mary confessed, my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. And who is this God? Surely she must have known the prophecy and the promise of Isaiah 7:14. It was announced to her. The virgin born son will come and his name shall be Emmanuel, God with us. Who is this God? God my Savior. It is Emmanuel. It is Jesus Christ. God himself who will become man and will be born from my womb by the power of the Holy Spirit. He is my Savior. My spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. So Mary was not immaculate. Mary was not sinless. She herself confessed, I'm sinful and I myself need a Savior. I thank God that God showed me his grace and saved me. Can anything be clearer than this? And then also, here it says, in verse 48, for he hath regarded, Mary went on to say, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. He hath regarded. Now, the word regard here in the original is the Greek word epibleppo, literally epi meaning upon, on or upon, bleppo to see or to look. So literally the word here is to look upon, right? To look upon. The word does not mean, all right, that we look at a person, all right, with esteem, admiration or regard. Here the word epibleppo, to look upon, has to do with looking upon someone with pity and compassion. Okay. So when here Mary said, he has regarded me. It's not that God is looking at Mary with esteem, right? With greatness, with respect. No. Mary is a sinner, like you and me. We are not worthy at all of God. We don't deserve anything. And here, when Mary says, he has regarded me, it means he has shown compassion on me. He looked upon me with pity, right? And with compassion. And of course, the next phrase also indicates that he has regarded, looked upon the low estate. Mary herself confessed, I'm nobody at all. I don't deserve all these things. I'm poor and lowly. He has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden, same word, slave over here. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. So God had pity on her, and Mary herself humbled herself before the Lord. I'm lowly, I'm nothing, but God has chosen to use me. And here, Mary says that she shall be called blessed. Now here the word blessed is not used in the sense that Mary in future will be worshipped, right? Will be praised or adored. The idea is not found in this word at all. Now the word blessed here is the Greek Makarios. And this word is the same word we find in the Beatitudes. Remember the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 5, in verse 3 we read, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. The word blessed here is the same word used. You know, when Mary said that she shall be blessed, all right, or she shall be called blessed. In the same way you are blessed, in the same way you can call yourself blessed because you have received what? The mercies of God, because you have humbled yourself before God. You are poor in spirit. You realize you are a sinner, and then you confess the Lord Jesus, and then you have been given the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, and mourn for their sins, for they shall be comforted. Christ will come and comfort you and save you. Blessed are the meek. I can't save myself. Lord, only you can save me. So I humble myself before you. Come and save me. And they shall inherit the earth. When Christ comes back, we will rule with him. Blessed are they that which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So you're blessed also in this way. Okay. But when you're blessed in this way, you say, oh, then I'm also to be worshipped. Right? Mary is not saying that she will be called blessed that so that she would also be worshipped. In the same way, when we are blessed by the Lord, according to the Beatitudes, not saying that we ought to be little saviors ourselves, no. Right? So please understand this. And then also in verse 49, look at this. Mary went on to say, for he that is mighty has done to me great things. He is mighty, he is powerful, not me. And he has done to me great things. I didn't do anything. He is the one who has done great things. And take note, holy is his name. Not holy is my name. Mary didn't say holy is my name. She didn't say holy Mary, mother of God. Holy Jesus, son of God. And he is the only Savior. And Mary herself said this and taught this, and she will be called blessed because she is pointing everyone to Jesus Christ, right? Not to herself. So please understand this. It is always he, not me. You read from verses 50 to 55 when Mary continued to praise the Lord. It says here in verse 50, his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. Not fear me, is he. And then verse 51, he has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. And really, you need to read this in the light of the Beatitudes. Right? There's a similarity over here, what Jesus taught there and what Mary is singing over here in praise of God. It is he, not me. He has opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, to his seed forever. He is the one who has kept his promises. And I'm thankful that of all the women in the world, God should choose me, which I do not deserve, but he chose me. I can only say thank you, Lord. Just like of all the people in this world, God chose me to belong to his kingdom, to be saved. Do I deserve it? Am I better than others? No. But God chose me. Why? I don't know. It's out of his own goodwill and pleasure. I can only say, Lord, thank you so much. And then worship him. So Mary was blessed because God had chosen her. And you and I are blessed by the Lord because God had chosen us. Are you chosen of the Lord? How do you know you are chosen by God? If only you will what? If only you will believe in God's word. And pray to the Lord, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Save me from my sins. And when you exercise that faith, like what Mary did, be it according to thy word. Yes, Lord, I believe thy word. I believe Jesus came, born of the Virgin. He died for me on the cross, according to thy word. And he was buried, and on the third day rose from the dead, according to thy word. I believe, Lord, save me from my sins. You'll be as blessed as Mary was blessed. May the Lord grant us a good understanding of the truth about Mary's place in God's redemptive plan, that we might worship the Lord correctly and truthfully and faithfully, and help others as well. Help others who are in the Roman church. They may call themselves Christians, but do they really know the Savior? Are they worshipping the right Savior? Are they only calling to the Lord who alone can save? If they are not, I think it is our duty, who know the truth, to tell them this good news, just like the angel told Mary long ago. Let us be angels ourselves to tell this good news. Only Jesus saves, and then we are able to open the scriptures. Let's look at what the angel said. Let's look at what Mary said, and then worship only the one living and true God. Only one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. No mediatrix, no benefactress, no queen of heaven, no mother of God. Don't pray Hail Mary, only praise Jesus and only hail him and worship him, who is our only God and Savior. Will we do this? Can we do this? May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy word, which is truth. And may thy Spirit teach and guide us into thy truth, that we can not only find salvation, but we can also help others find salvation in thee, in thy word, by properly and accurately and faithfully explaining the Holy Scriptures to them, because thy word is truth and is full of good news for sinful men like us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.